The next question is, if someone gets to the top of the interest list, this is for the waiver program, but has made a transfer, do they get to remain at the top of the list until the penalty is resolved, or do you return to the bottom of the interest list? You go back to the bottom because there's no eligibility, because there's no qualification because of the penalty, and there's no start date. So if there's no start date, unless you resolve that transfer penalty somehow, it doesn't matter how they're qualified with results with regard to the list. You just have to start over until there's a start date where you can determine the eligibility amount. Related to that is the next question, which is, apparently anyone can get on the interest list despite a lack of need for care at home at the time. If someone gets to the top of the interest list but is not yet medically qualified, do they remain at the top of the list or go back to the bottom of the list? Again, if they're not medically eligible, then they're not qualified. So unless there's something happens within 30 days to where they can make it, they'd go back to the bottom. You've got to be eligible when you come up to the top or get yourself eligible. Otherwise, you rotate back down.
I believe that's the next one.
Who? Did you want me to go next?
Yes, please.
All right. Let me go to the one that has the this short little PowerPoint. And April, if you'll go ahead and just bring up the first page. The question here was, do you use a checklist for converting a standard kids HEMS trust to a special needs trust? The first kind of question to answer there is, are you talking about a trust that you're drafting from the beginning, or is this a trust that you're looking to modify? Many trusts that attorneys go to modify are actually not countable resources as they are. They might not have all the terms that you want, but one of the things that I've seen a number of times is that someone will call me when they have modified a trust into what they believe to be a special needs trust, and the trust is still countable for some purpose. And, you know, they made a lot of changes to make the trust look like a special needs trust, but it was actually fine before, and they did something to make it accountable. So the main thing is, if you look at the trust terms, is consider what gives the beneficiary control. And so we're gonna look primarily at just drafting a special needs trust versus a HEMS trust. I think a lot of attorneys would really benefit from taking the trust that they've grown to love for all purposes and converting one of their beloved trusts into a special needs trust, just section by section. How to do this, there are a number of different ways, but it's actually relatively easy for a lot of situations. And I'm going to go to the second slide here, which rule number one is use what works for you. And going back to what Christina said about analyzing public benefits, she said that what worked for her was to think of the situation like a cake, where you needed all the ingredients at one time. One of the ways that has worked for me is to think of this grid. I heard a special, a very, very good estate planner say that he couldn't really keep all of the components of a trust in his mind all at the same time, and that he had to go piece by piece. I think that helps us a lot with a special needs trust, how we're drafting it, whether we're drafting it from scratch or modifying a trust form that you have, or looking to modify a trust. And the grid that I like to use here is just this little 9-cell grid. I have yet to find any component part of any trust that doesn't have the provision where you can't fit the provision into one of these nine cells. And they are grantor, beneficiary, trustee, revocable versus irrevocable, trust property in, trust property out, the end of the trust, the remainder beneficiaries, and the formalities. So, April, if you'll go to the last slide there.